All right, Luke 19. If you have your Bibles, turn to it. If you don't, well, we'll figure something out for you. If you don't, turn in your iPhone, but don't check your Facebook. Busted. Someone's doing it. Get off of Instagram. Stop taking pictures of me and posting on Instagram. That was too big of a laugh. Too late. Gram it. All right, Luke 19. We're in a series. He's doing it right now. Does anybody know what the series is? No, because I haven't started it yet. Gotcha. See how many paying attention. A new series. It's called Where I Belong. It's good. Where do I belong? Under those sunglasses, apparently, Danielle. Where I Belong. Luke 19. Are you with me? Are you there? You sure? Luke 19:1. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. Who knows the song? Wow. You know so much. It's awesome. I didn't even know there was that many words to it. I just thought it was Zacchaeus was a wee little man and climbed up a tree or something. Zacchaeus, he was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. Ooh, had that money. Benjamin's. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. How many of you are short? Timo, why do I look straight at you? That's mean. It's terrible. You hadn't even raised your hand yet. I was looking at you. Carson's raising his hand. Yeah, you're short, Carson. Real short. Get him, Timo. I can't remember where I was. He was too short to see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus! He said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. How many of you would quickly rush Jesus to your house? I'd be like, take your time, run home, clean up a little bit. A lot. Give me a couple hours. Might be clean. I got a couple babies and a cat. That stinks. But he rushes him to his house. He's also rich, so he probably has a butler. I keep getting lost. In great excitement and joy. So he was happy. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. They grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half of my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, if he did, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who were lost. Can anybody say amen to that? Amen. Save me when I was lost. Save you when you were lost. Or are you still lost? Looking around. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for today. God, we ask that you would speak your word to us. God, you would encourage us tonight. But God, you would also challenge us and strengthen us. God, help us to fix our eyes on you. God, to grow in you and to know you better tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Inside of each one of you and inside of me, there is this deep longing to belong. Not to be long, like be tall, but to belong, to be a part of something, right? To fit in. Any of you have that same need? If you're not raising your hand, you're a liar. At least you're honest, an honest liar. Does that make sense? It does not work. Right? We all have this need inside of us to belong to something, to be a part of something, to fit in, to be accepted, to have people want us around. How many of you want to be at a place where nobody wants you there? That's awkward. I think that's nobody's hope. Hopefully, you don't have a whole room of people that don't like you and don't want you there. But we all have this longing to belong to something, to somebody, to a group. How many of you belong to some kind of group or team? Proudly. You proudly belong. What do you belong to? ROTC. What do you belong to? Gangs? You're in a gang? Okay, we'll have a prayer session afterwards. Wait. Keep going. It's a good gang, okay? That's awesome, okay. That's sweet. That's a good gang. I usually don't think of those kind of things as gangs, but hey, that's a good kind of gang. But a gang is a good example that we want to belong to something, right? And we have this need and we have this desire inside of us to belong to something that we so desperately want to fit in. And that's why so many people struggle with different things of going outside of who they're called to be or who they want to be or who they were made to be, because they want so desperately to belong, to be a part of something. And that's how a lot of gangs are started. Brought it back to gangs. It's because we have this sense or this longing of a family, of a body, of somebody that cares so much about you and wants to be with you and wants you around. Now, they have weird ways of going about it. They like beat each other up just to get in the gang, but then beat each other up to get out of it. Hopefully you guys don't do that in your other gang, your Christian gang, in the good gang, no beating each other up. But we have this sense or this desire or this thing that's deep down in our heart, and it's built in each one of us. It's not a negative thing. We all want to belong to something. We all want to be wanted. I have a want to be wanted. I want people to want me around. I don't want to go places where nobody wants me there. I feel awkward, feel out of place. I'd rather go be by myself, and I'm like super extroverted. Do not like being by myself. Drive myself crazy. I'd rather drive somebody else crazy. Right? But I have this longing to fit in, to be a part of something, to be accepted, to have people that want to know me and know my name. I want to go to the store and everybody in the store knows me. Okay, not all of you are as extroverted as me, and you don't want anybody to know you, and you just want to get through and look down like this while you're walking through. Sometimes I do that. But I have this desire in me to be a part of something, to be needed. If any of you are on a sports team, anybody on a sports team? Or some kind of activity team, ping pong team? Foosball team, that's pretty cool. Right, on your team, you probably do not want to be the person that nobody wants in the game. Right? You don't want to be that person when they're like, no, God, please don't put him in. Don't put him in. Don't put him in. Oh, Reed again. Don't give it to him. Right? You don't want to be that person. You want to be a contributor. You want to be a part of something. You want them to be like, dude, put Reed in. He's awesome. Or you would never be on the bench because you're so awesome. Don't take him out. That's better. Right? That's how we want. We're just wired that way. We're designed that way. If we want to belong to something great, we want to be productive, we want to be a contributor, we want to be accepted by people around us. And if you don't want that, then I believe that you're lying. Or you've just been really hurt. We all have this sense and we all have this need that we want to be wanted, we want to be needed, we want to be a part of something, And we want people around us to want us there. I'm like a little too overly this way, that when there's like a party or someone's inviting like my wife to go, I want to be specifically invited or I don't want to be there. Because then I feel like, well, they're going to be like, why are you here? I invited Mariah, not you. So it's probably bad in me how much I want to be wanted by people and want people to want me there. But we all have this in some way of we want someone to want us there. We want to be accepted. We want to be a part of something. So we search everywhere to find that. We do what we can to find that need being filled in us, right? That need being met. And if we don't find it right away in a healthy group, we usually end up going outside of what we're created to do or designed to do. And we start going into places that are more difficult and we start to struggle because those people accept us. Right? We start reverting to something negative. We start reverting to drugs or to alcohol because when you're high, everybody wants you around. When you're drunk, and everybody's drunk, then everybody loves everybody. That's awesome, right? It was a joke. You're not supposed to say, yeah, Isaac. Way to be a leader. Just kidding. Right? But then we start reverting to other things to try and find that acceptance. And a lot of people go from relationship to relationship seeking that acceptance, seeking somebody to want them. Guys and girls do this. Even more specifically, girls. Just saying. But if we don't find that, if we don't have that need fulfilled in us, we search for it in relationships. We search for it in friendships. We search for it in activities and the things that we do. We search for it by being more athletic, right? So that people will accept us more. By working out all the time so we're big and buff and think people will think we're awesome and have them flex for them. That's what people do to me all the time. They're like, Reed, flex. I'm like, okay. Not again, guys. Not again. Just kidding. No one's ever asked me that. First time, yes. Right? But we revert to something that'll help us belong, that'll help us feel connected, feel a part of something. And Zacchaeus was the same kind of way. Zacchaeus was this man that was longing, that had this deep longing inside of him to belong to something. He was a tax collector. He was the chief tax collector. Are you twitching over there? I don't know if I scared you. He's the chief tax collector. And because of that, a lot of people didn't like him. Now, if I went around and stole money from you, literally took more than I was supposed to, you probably wouldn't like me, right? Hey, somebody said, well. What's that? If I flex? Okay, I can flex and steal your money. Yes. And that's what Zacchaeus did, right? He would take taxes from everybody, but he would take more than was necessary. And then when they owed taxes, they owed even more, then he would make them pay even more than they owed. So he would take from them. He was constantly taking other people's money. That's how tax collectors worked. And that's why he was so rich. He was really good at it. And he was the chief tax collector. So he's probably not liked by quite a few people. And even at the end of the story, it says, why are you hanging out with such a notorious sinner? This guy steals from us. He takes from us all the time. Why are you hanging out with him? And so he's not this super likable guy. He probably still has some friends, but he's rich. He's got money. He could buy whatever he wants. He probably had like 50 cars because they had cars back then. Probably had his own personal jet plane, right? So he could buy people's love and affection and take them to Paris with him. Okay, let's fly to another country. Paris was existing then, yes. Right? And he had all this money so he could buy whatever he wanted. And you can have a lot of fun with a lot of money, right? There's a lot of things that you can do. And this guy had all kinds of money. But he didn't have close relationships. He didn't have somebody. He still had this need to be wanted by somebody. This longing in his heart. He still had it, and it was so bad and so desperate in him that he was searching for it, and he hears of this man named Jesus. Jesus was a teacher. He was a known teacher, a rabbi, as they would call him. He was also a prophet. And he called himself the Messiah, and people are trying to figure out who this guy is. He's doing miracles all over the place. And so Zacchaeus wants to be a part of something. He wants to be in with everybody else that knows who this man Jesus is. He wants to know who he is. He wants to be a part of it. And so he's a short little man, and he can't see through the crowd. And he's trying so hard to jump and to look over, but he just can't do it. So if you can picture this older guy in probably nice clothes, right? He's rich, probably had all these nice rings and jewelry on, just blinging all over the place, money falling out of his pockets. And he's in this nice new white robe and white tennis shoes, because they had those back then too. And he's climbing this tree to see Jesus. He's doing everything he can to get up just to look at this man to figure out who he is. He's desperate. He has this longing in him that needs to be fulfilled. And so he goes up there, he climbs up, and then Jesus stops and he looks right at him. And he says, Zacchaeus, that's your new name. Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to hang out with you tonight. I'm coming over to your house. Out of all the people and the whole crowd and everybody there, he calls and singles out this man, Zacchaeus. This man who is the chief tax collector, this guy who's a sinner in everybody's eyes around him, picks him out, says, I want to hang out with you. I want to eat with you tonight. Zacchaeus does like a little backflip off the tree, super excited, runs to Jesus, scuffs up his new tennis shoes, doesn't even care. He wants to be with this man named Jesus. In that moment, Zacchaeus had found what he was looking for. He had found somebody who would accept him and know him. See, right there in that moment, it says Jesus looked up at him and he knew him by name. Zacchaeus knew that Jesus knew him by name and knew everything about him, knew who he was, knew what he had done. And he still said, I want to be with you. I want to hang out with you tonight. See, that's why Zacchaeus got so excited, because Jesus knew him and still wanted to be with him. See, all those other people that knew him didn't want to be with him. They were mad at him. He had stolen from him. Or he only wanted to be with him because he had lots of money. Could fly him to Paris because that was possible. But Jesus just wanted to be with him. He wanted to know him. And that day, Zacchaeus gave his heart to Jesus, and he said, I'm going to give everything back. Anytime that I've wronged anybody, I'm going to give them four times what I took from them. I'm going to give half of my money to the poor. He's probably broke by then, but he didn't even care. All that had gone away. All that need for money, all that need for that fulfillment. See, he was probably trying to fill that longing with money, with material things, with whatever he could buy. But it wasn't working. And in that moment when he found that acceptance and he found that love and he found a place where he truly belonged, he gave everything up and ran towards Jesus. We all have that same desire in our heart to belong to something, to be a part of something, to fit in, to be known by people, to be loved by people. No matter what we've been through, no matter what we've done that week, we want to be accepted. We want to be known. Zacchaeus wanted to be known. He wanted somebody to stop and acknowledge him. And the moment Jesus did, he gave up everything he had done. He repented. He gave back to everyone that he had wronged. And it says in that moment, he was saved. That was the day of salvation for him, because he gave his heart to God. Not because he gave his money away, but because his heart had changed in that moment, that he knew that he belonged to Jesus. We belong to Jesus. That's the only place you will find that full fulfillment and that longing that you have in your heart is in him. When we run to Jesus, that's when that fulfillment starts to come. That's when we start to feel a part of something. The Bible says in the moment that you believe in Jesus, you become a part of his family. You're accepted as a son or as a daughter. Not because you did everything right, but because you put your faith in him. In that moment that Zacchaeus put his faith in him, he was a part of the family. He was a son. He belonged. And there was nothing that could pull Zacchaeus away from belonging in that moment. When you believe in Jesus and your life is transformed and you start to live for him, you are a part of his family. And nothing anybody can do or nothing you can do can snatch you out of his hand. And see, that's where we find that fulfillment of belonging, is in his family. Because nothing can take that away. We can try to find that longing in other things, and we can try and find it in relationships, and we can try and find it in activities and in athleticism and the things that we do. Right? But it's not always gonna fill that fulfillment. In that moment, in that time, you might feel like you belong and you're a part of something. Right? You're working out all the time and you're big and buff and everybody's admiring you. You feel like you're a part of something. But then you hit my age and you start getting a gut and all those muscles go away, then what? Right? Or you're super athletic and you're known for being the top person on the soccer team or the football team and you blow out your knee. Then what? That belonging is no longer there. But there's nothing that you can do, no knee that you can blow out, no sin that you can have and commit that you are pulled away from God's family when he accepts you in it. And see, that's that belonging that we have, that we are constantly wanting to fulfill that in our life. We want to belong to something. We want to be a part of something amazing, something great, something that people want us around and we contribute to. The moment you believe in Jesus, you are a part of his family. You are eternally with the Father. You are eternally in heaven. You are rooted in him. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of you to help you actually live like him and be like him. That's where you belong, is with Jesus. When we put our faith in him and we believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, in that moment, you belong. But there's still times where we're searching to find our belonging, whether or not we're saved or not. Right? I constantly still want to feel like I belong, that I'm a part of something, that somebody admires me or sees something in me and wants to be around me. And we all have this longing, but the only way that we actually fulfill it is when we spend time with Jesus. See, Jesus is the foundation, or should be the foundation, of your relationships. Will you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 3, if you have your Bible? 1 Corinthians 3. You there? Verse 10. Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has already been laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus should be your foundation. When you put your faith in him, he is that cornerstone. He is that foundation. Now, this is not saying that you cannot have any relationships with anybody else, right? It's not saying you should be a monk and go hang out with Jesus, just you and him, and build that relationship. God has made us for relationships. He's made us and he's called us to go and to make disciples. He's called us to love one another. He's called us to be a part of a family, right? He's called us all about relationships. But what he hasn't called us is to find our belonging in other relationships. What he's called us to do is find our belonging and our strength in him. And when we do that, it fortifies our relationships. That makes sense? When he is your cornerstone, when he is your foundation, your relationships are stronger. When I'm stronger in my relationship with the Lord, my wife and I, our relationship is stronger. When it's not, well, it's not as strong. We'll just put it that way. Right? I get a lot less patient. I get a lot more frustrated. I get a lot more irritable. All these things start coming up when I'm not growing in my relationship with Jesus, when he is not my foundation, my relationships around me start to dissolve and I start to become more insecure. And I start to become more needy and I start to become less confident. But when you put your faith in him and you put your trust in him and he becomes your cornerstone and your foundation, you become more confident, you become more secure in him, and your relationships grow. But you have to put him as that cornerstone, as that foundation to build off of. Isaiah 28:16 says this, "Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says, look, I am placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem, a firm and tested stone. It is a precious cornerstone that is safe to build on. Whoever believes need never be shaken." Who's he talking about? Huh? No. Jesus. Jesus is that cornerstone, right? And this is a prophecy by Isaiah. And he's saying, I'm about to place, this is from God, right? He's saying, I'm about to place this stone, this cornerstone that is tested and is firm. It is a precious cornerstone. It is safe to build on. Whoever has it need never be shaken. We will never be shaken when we build off the cornerstone, who is Jesus. Right? Your relationships will waver. They'll go back and forth, right? Who we are and the events that we do and the activities that we do, they're going to come and they're going to go. But your strength is in Christ Jesus. That's what never moves. And if you build your foundation around him, the rest of your relationships will start to grow and start to produce. But when we're constantly going back and forth of trying to find our place of belonging, that's when we start to personally struggle. That's when we start to waver. That's when our faith starts to go back and forth. It's when we don't put our faith and our trust in that firm foundation, who is Jesus. You and I, we belong to him. I know we question this constantly, and maybe not out loud, but I know I constantly am wondering, where do I belong? Where do I fit in? Where am I? What am I made to do? What am I made for? Maybe I'm the only one that ever wonders this. But I believe a lot of us struggle with that thought of, what am I made for? Where do I belong? And you belong with Jesus. You belong with him. In your relationship with him, when you're growing in that foundation and you're strong in him, the relationships around you start to succeed and start to bear fruit. But you have to be strong in your relationship with him and continue to pursue him. You belong with Jesus. Amen. Will you stand with me? I'm going to pray. We're wrapping up early tonight. We have a longing to belong, and you belong in relationship with Jesus. You belong with him. Your identity should be in him. Your foundation should be in him. And when it is, and when you place that in him and your confidence in him, you start to become more secure in who you are and the relationships around you. And you don't have to look for that in other people of where you belong. You look for it in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for tonight. God, I pray that you would seal the word tonight. God, help it to just strengthen us, to make us firm in you, God, that we would stand firm in who we are in you. God, we would know that we belong in your family, in your hands, and God, that we can never be ripped away from that. Father, we love you tonight. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you're always with us. And we ask that you would just keep us this week and protect us and watch over us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We'll be a blessing this week, and we will see you next week.